Hey, what's going on? This is the Combo for Oak Ridge Ford, Norman London, Mike, and Chictawaga. It is Sunday, April 9th, 2023. The Leafs coming off a 7-1 win over the Montreal Canadiens at Scotiabank Arena. Mike, usually they lose these types of games to these types of teams, but not last night. They got it done in emphatic fashion, padding stats, and nearly losing another goaltender. Good morning.
Good morning, Norm. Well, I'll just say this. Yes, of course they won this game because there was no pressure on them. When, you know, they play Columbus or Chicago in January and they're in a race for second place, that's when they spit the bit. But last night, they're home and cooled out. They have second place guaranteed. You know, all you really are doing now is load managing and making sure players aren't getting hurt. And as we'll talk about in a minute, somebody did get hurt through a scare into everybody. But, you know, it was, I mean, Montreal's a terrible team right now. They want to lose because they'll improve their odds of getting Connor Bedard. So in that instance, I would have preferred Montreal win and lessen their chances of getting Connor Bedard. But, you know, it was a good victory for the Leafs. They, you know, they sat a number of players due to bumps and bruises, and you know the Habs are just playing off the string. Now you've got three games left, three meaningless games before the start of the playoffs. And right now, if they could wrap all their players in bubble wrap, that would be a good thing.
Jed Alexander did not face a shot in the 90 seconds he played at the end of the game. An emergency call up. What a story he will be able to tell his family for the rest of his life. The guy probably woke up in some bed completely inebriated from the night before, and then he gets a phone call and there he is on the ice on one of the biggest hockey stages in the world. What an incredible story that is, Mike. And you talked about load management. Really, the load management has to focus on the three guys who will be considered the triumvirate tasked with helping to push this team through the first round. And that is, of course, Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, and Joseph Woll. Three games to go. How does Sheldon Keefe line these guys up? Who gets to play? Who has to sit? And who the hell is healthy when game one with Tampa goes down?
Well, so last night, Samsonov appeared to have tweaked something, making, you know, sort of sprawling out for a save. You know, he had the left knee injury earlier in the year on a penalty shot against Brad Marchand that I think he tweaked a left knee. He was bending over and he appeared to be in pain, but he sort of fought through it and he was okay the rest of the game. And then after the game said, you know, he just tweaked something, but he was okay. And that was something, you know, because right now the situation with Matt Murray, you know, it looked as if he was going to back up yesterday. They had sent Woll down to the Marlies for cap reasons. Even if it was on paper, he wouldn't have been available last night. Hence, they had to sign Jet Alexander to an amateur tryout contract, right, because Murray was not available. Now, the whole reason with the reason they couldn't call up Woll is because they need to save cap space over the last three games to sign Matthew Nyes to a contract. And we'll talk about him in a second too. But I mean, it just, once the three regular season games are over with, then the concern about cap space is over with, because then there is no cap when it right. comes to the playoffs. But right now, between now and the end of the season, if they want to get Nyes into games, they're going to have to move things around. And they couldn't put Murray on long-term injury to hide his contract, because then I believe he would have been unavailable for most of the first round. And it sounds like he will be available at least to be a backup for at some point during this last three-game road trip.
Norm in London, Mike in Chictawaga. This is the Leafs Combo, seen through YouTube, then heard on the favorite podcast platform of your choice. We are brought to you for the month of April by our good friends at Oak Ridge Ford. OakRidgeFord.com at the corner of Oxford and Wonderland in bustling London. All kinds of pre-owned cars, lots of new Fords on the ground. If you're looking for a vehicle, you'd be crazy to go anywhere else. Listeners, OGs, converts who've come through me to purchase an SUV, a car, whatever, have been rewarded big time. They can tell you about it. I can tell you about it. OakRidgeFord.com, they're our sponsor. Support us by supporting them. David Hillman, I wouldn't play Sammy again until the playoffs, maybe the last game of the season. Really, at the end of the day, Mike, we need all three of those goaltenders on deck. Who's ever healthy, who's ever got a bit of a hot hand, play him. And before he goes cold, you know what I mean by cold, get him out of there and put someone else in. Really, by any means necessary, it'll be a war. It'll be, this will be decided by attrition, 100%. Who plays and who helps backstop this team to where it wants to go, 100%.
Well, I would suspect with three games left and the Monday, Tuesday, Florida matchup at of the Panthers, and then on Monday and the Lightning on Tuesday, that you'll see a split of the Samsonov against one and probably Murray against the other. If he's able to back up, then he should be able to play. Now, if it was me, I would play Samsonov against Florida and I would play Murray against Tampa, because more than likely Tampa is not going to face Murray in the first two games of the first round. It'll be Samsonov starting at home, where now I think he's 19-2-2 or something ridiculous record like that. Right. So, and then they might split the goaltenders in that final game against the Rangers and MSG, just to give them a little works, have a few pucks shot at them. Because remember, between the last game of the regular season and the first game of the playoffs, it'll be either 3 or 4 days. So they'll have practice, but that's not the same thing as seeing live pucks. So I think that, you know, they probably split it down the middle and give them both work. Yes, there might be a little bit of concern, and we won't find out whether there is concern on Samsonov and any lingering effects from what happened on Saturday until tomorrow, when they probably go through a morning skate, because today is a travel day going down to Florida. But it seemed that he was okay and that there's nothing to worry about, but there's always something to worry about when it comes to the goaltending.
Yeah, both the Leafs and the Tampa Bay Lightning have quite a few things to worry about as they venture into yet another showdown in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Bitch Marner, my man, Marcus Daly, not a good idea. We need Sammy Sharp. At this point, Mike, these guys are as sharp as they will be. It's about load management and making it into game one as healthy as possible, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, you could see yesterday that is, and it's even going back last week when they sat Marner and Giordano and one other defenseman, I think it was McCabe. The call of the day is load management now, especially now that there's nothing to really accomplish other than personal marks.
Right.
And, you know, Matthews gets goal number 39 yesterday. Marner gets 3 points. So Marner is at 98. Matthews is at 39 goals. Matthews would probably like to get to 40, and I think the chances are more than likely he will in three games. And Marner 2 points if he does, you know, does that. And then honestly, like again, and I've said this and I'll continue to say this. That game against Tampa, I don't think it's running scared to say, okay, we're gonna sit Tavares, we're gonna sit Marner, we're gonna sit Matthews. If you have to go 11-7 and, you know, you might not be able to call somebody up, but I'm just saying I would be in favor of self-preservation, because you know, as well as I, based on like what Tampa did against the Rangers last Wednesday, where, you know, they went after Jacob Trouba and Corey Perry was doing his usual Mau Mau act. And you have, you know, Belmar and Killorn and Maroon. I mean, you know, they are a team that's going to send messages, and there are not many players. I mean, there are a few players on the Leafs that can send messages back, and they should be in the lineup. But I don't think it's stupid to hold them out in that game. And I think the Leafs should do that.
What the hell does that game matter? Remember last year, the game that these two played before the playoffs, it was a complete clusterfuck. And really, what did it generate that lent to the outcome of that series, right? Tampa, they did what they had to do. The Leafs, we were all freaking out about how the Leafs wouldn't be able to perform against them, and the Leafs had a chance to close the series in game six and did not. It had nothing to do with what happened in, you know, that game 80, game 81 of the regular season schedule. You know, that's the thing, Mike. Tampa doesn't give a shit, right? They're just bullies. They know how they have to play, whether it works for them or not. They're just going to try to run roughshod over the opposition. They know the Leafs aren't really going to push back physically. The Leafs can push back with the power play, push back with, you know, other aspects of the overall composition of a game that, you know, may allow them to get by Tampa once and for all. And that would be great if that's the case. But, you know, in this game, there's no need to posture at all. And it lends to the an additional question is, when the series starts, Tampa, obviously, kind of speed wobbling into the playoffs the way they are, not at their very best, knowing what they know about the Leafs goaltending situation, never mind, you know, just how fragile the Leafs mentality can be. What the hell is their game plan? What are they going to do? Are they going to try to take these goaltenders out? I mean, whether it's in your face or subtly, you've got to think that's something that's weighing on the Leafs' mind and a factor that Tampa would like to have work in their favor when the playoffs begin.
Well, I don't, like I said, I don't put anything past Tampa. I'm not saying they're going to go out and try to like undercut Austin Matthews' knee or something like that. But if they throw some hits and they ding some of the Leafs up in that final game, so much the better. I mean, it is going to be a war of attrition as much as it is a war of talent between these two teams. So if you can throw it gives some bumps and bruises to a couple Leafs players in a meaningless game, then yeah, so be it. And that's why I said, you know, I would sit out those guys. And, you know, if you want to battle against the Leafs, then battle against Luke Shen and Wayne Simmons and a couple of, you know, the Leafs tougher players, and, you know, sort of go mano a mano with, you know, their nuclear weapons. And then in game one, then it can be skill on skill. But that's why it's like, I mean, I don't think it's turtling or dodging or anything like that nature. I think it's smart. And I think if you, by playing your players against Tampa in a meaningless game, you're just begging for trouble.
Skill on skill in game one, Mike, we know that the Leafs outweighed Tampa mano on mano when it comes to skill. And that's not all that is required to win this series. What I'm concerned about is the way that Tampa plays, the bravado that it has, whether it's a justified bravado based on how this team is performing right now and its reality, because it's not as great as a lot of, it thinks it has. But I worry that, you know, they're going to take liberties, not only with the guys, the skaters, but the goaltenders, knowing that the Leafs situation between the pipes is pretty fragile. That's what I'm concerned about.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, we saw
what do they care? Why not? What the hell? If this is their last stand, Mike, as part of this dynastic group, then fuck, go out with a bang.
It's possible, but we saw what Ottawa did to Florida in a game that was meaningless to the Senators because they were pretty much out of the playoffs. They seemed to be going at Alex Lyon. But Tampa, you know, jabbed at Igor Shesterkin, in that game on Wednesday. So that's the reason why. Also, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, these teams have very detailed scouting reports, but the last thing you want to do is give the team that you're going to face, up to seven times over the next couple weeks. The last thing that you want to do is give them a sneak preview of the goalie that they're going to face in games one and two in Tampa. So that's why I play Murray or I play Wall against Tampa on Tuesday and not Samsonov.
Okay. I'm excited to talk about this series because I'm getting amped up, and I know the OGs and converts are, with three regular season games to go. And we're inside, you know, We're outside a week and a bit of the Stanley Cup playoffs getting going. Mike, the Leafs behind the Oilers have the best power play in the league. Last night, going 4-for-6. So here's something, and I'm reading in the chat as I'm listening to your wisdom, Mike. Axe 18, I like Gustafsson on the power play way more than Riley. Gustafsson had 3 assists last night. Mm-hmm. Does that mean anything to you?
Not a thing. Now, the reason being is that I don't think you can afford to go 11-7 in the playoffs. I don't think you can afford to have a pure power play specialist, which Gustafsson would be, because I don't care what his numbers are. Traditionally, throughout his career, he's been a liability 5-on-5. And you can't consistently mix up your forward lines, which you would have to do with 11 forwards in the playoffs. So I'm going 12-6, and I think Gustafsson is the disaster backup in case Riley gets hurt, or maybe, you know, if they have an advantage or if their power play is really slumping, that they exercise that. But honestly, I think they need 12 forwards, and I think they need 6 defensemen. And I think there's no problem with Riley on the power play, and other than the fact that he doesn't have a big shot, but he's a pretty good distributor of the puck. And that's the way that power play is crafted, is as having a point distributor, having a quarterback, not somebody who's going to boom shots like, you know, Barry Beck back in the day. Your shooters are the guys on the wings, are Matthews and Nylander. And if Riley is taking the shots from the point, then there's something wrong with the power play.
So the thing about the power play too, Mike, is Mike Babcock once said that the Leafs' toughness is their power play. And to this day, that is a concept that remains true. So there's two things happening here, right?
Not as much as it was in Babcock's day. I mean, the whole purpose of all the moves that the Leafs made at the deadline is to make them more of a, you know, there is a pushback. And you saw last night, you know, when Michael Bunting got cross-checked by Joel Edmondson, you had Wayne Simmonds go after Edmondson. Now, I don't think Simmonds is going to be in the lineup as part of the starting 12 in game one. But at some point during the Tampa series, he may be in there because they're going to need somebody to respond to the antics of Perry or Maroon or those guys. So, you know, and I think that, you know, it'll be limited minutes. It'll be probably 5-6 minutes at most, because they don't want to it's more likely for it to happen at home because then they'll have the last change. But I do think that there is a possibility based on, you know, the toughness throughout that Tampa lineup that you see Wayne Simmonds in there at some point. But there is more pushback now than just the power play. And, you know, you've got McCabe, you've got Shen, you've got Simmonds, you've got Lafferty and a few others, you know, but down deep, this team is still a skill team.
And looking at the stats right now, the Oilers have the best power play in the league, 32.5%. The Leafs are number 2 at 26.1%, and right behind them, guess who?
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Lightning, 25.9%. And I'm not saying that the Leafs' power play toughness supplants the general improvement of toughness throughout the Leafs lineup through the acquisition. I'm not saying that, but one will offset the other. Here's the thing though, Mike, if Tampa gets crazy and acts like a bunch of jokers to start the series, and the Leafs get up with a man advantage a few times, whether in the first or halfway through the game, the Leafs got to jump on it. Because if the Leafs rip their sticks too tight and can't complete or take advantage of that extra man opportunity, the Tampa's just going to keep going at them, because they're going to know that the Leafs don't have the nerve to take what was given to them and make the most of it. So that, and that's the thing, right? Everyone says, or people who don't like any kind of physicality and who think that the Leafs are just, you know, more skilled than Tampa, and it will show in the end. And that may indeed be true, right? Believe that it's, the Leafs will get the man advantage and score on the power play. But if when the playoffs start, they fail to do so, that just gives Tampa more opportunity to seduce the Leafs and bring them into the trenches, start bullshit with them, and just deal with the fact that they may be down a man here or there, knowing that the long game, getting the Leafs off of their game, is the better way to go. The odd penalty kill here and there, be damned.
Well, I mean, the one accurate point of that adage from Mike Babcock is one way to neutralize the toughness of Tampa Bay is to make them pay with power play, with the Leafs scoring power play goals. That will neuter them if, if the Leafs score a couple power play goals in game one.
If
Sorry?
that's the thing, Mike, if right, it's still a concept until it's done. You can get your power play, but you have to bury the chances. And if they do and take the lead, that takes Tampa to a different mindset, because it's shit, we're down 3-0. We've got to stop the funny business, and we've got to try to play skill to skill. And if in that circumstance, if the Leafs are indeed the more skilled team with hints of toughness throughout, then they'll give themselves a chance. So maybe it does all come down to the power play and health between the pipes.
So, I mean, right now, I mean, the three games that are upcoming, I mean, essentially are meaningless, and this will all serve as a precursor of the series. More than likely, their regular season ends on Thursday. The NHL schedule, I think there are some games on Friday, the makeup games, but the playoffs will start next Monday. Now, whether the Leafs start Monday or Tuesday, that'll depend on the schedule and what the networks want to do. I would think that Hockey Night in Canada, Sports and Sportsnet would want the Leafs on the first night. But there's no guarantee. If not them, you will see. One thing will be for certain. The network gods will have the Leafs on one night and the Oilers on another night, because they'll want to have Connor McDavid on one. They won't want to do have everything on one night and then have to broadcast US games or US teams on another night. So I think the Leafs will play one night, Edmonton will play another night. And I mean, so that's where I think things will go scheduling wise. But as to the situation with Matthew Nyes, which I think we wanted to bring up, I don't think there's going to be an issue. I know Elliot Friedman brought up the cap ramifications, and that was the whole reason why the Matt Murray inability to play yesterday necessitated Jed Alexander being the backup goaltender, because they couldn't call up Joseph Woll to be able to back up, because then his salary, which is $775,000, would have had to go on the payroll, and they need every dollar they can get to Matthew Nyes. Now, it may happen today, it may happen tomorrow morning, but I think it's going to happen. I don't think there's a doubt it's going to happen. They wouldn't have gone through what they did yesterday had there hadn't been every intention to get him signed. And if there's, there was some talk about, maybe the bonus structure of his contract, being a factor. They're not going to come this close to a guy who has been one of their best prospects and hold off and not get him signed based on a couple $100,000 in bonuses on his contract. So I expect we will see Matthew Nyes wearing number 89 in a blue and white uniform in one of the three final games this week.
Wow, that's McGillney's old number
Yeah,
too.
that's a number he wore at Minnesota, so I'm assuming that's the number he'll wear in Toronto.
Interesting, interesting. The business of the game continues on as the game gets closest to its most intense of the year, and it's only going to get more insane as the playoffs ramp up. The hope here, OGs and Converse, is that the Maple Leafs, you know, finally make it through the first round and get into the second round, where they don't even realize their capabilities at this point because they haven't had a chance to get there, and there's nothing to weigh it against. With Matthew Knies, I'm feeling like at this point it's just get the guy signed up, and he is what he is. Wouldn't it be something as if he had a, you know, premature breakout party by doing something unique or special in the playoffs because his presence was necessitated through injury, or there was a reason to have him there? I believe that we're going to really get to know and like Matthew Knies next season. It's just this is the time to tie up the contractual end of stuff, because there's other things to worry about for the team as a whole, and that's to be prepared, be as healthy as possible, get ready to go into trench warfare with the Tampa Bay Lightning, and hopefully at the end of the day outlast this group and let the skill take over and punctuate a victory at last. Mike, any final words from you? Anything else you wanted to cover on this edition of the Leafs Combo?
Yeah, just in the chat, somebody's saying Nick Robertson wore 89. Well, Nick Robertson's out for the rest of the year, so I'm not sure whether, I mean, maybe he wears 98. I mean, that's the least of the problems. I'm just saying I would think that, you know, Robertson, and I don't know whether he wore 89 in junior or if that's a number that has any special meaning to him, but I think there's possibility he'll wear. I mean, if not, then he'll just wear – I mean, does anybody remember the number that Nylander wore before he changed to 88? You know, like that's, you know, it doesn't mean that the number that Knies takes now will be the number that he wears. And who knows if Nick Robertson will play for the Leafs again. I mean, there's some talk that he might get traded in the offseason. I mean, who knows? I'm just saying that eventually I think Knies will wear 89, but I could be wrong. I'm just guessing.
Nylander wore 29, right?
Yes.
Was that Mike Palmateer's number, or was Mike Palmateer 33?
No, Palmateer's 29.
Hmm. Yep. See. You know, maybe for another time, another show, we can look at the lineage of numbers, because the Leafs aren't big into retiring numbers, right?
And Marner originally wanted 93 and had Doug Gilmore's approval. But then they were retiring the numbers, and he decided, and the organization said no. And I think Connor Brown had 16, and then Marner switched to 16.
So. Interesting. Sounds like a really boring podcast to go into all those details, but I'm sure the OGs and Converts would support us. Guys, like the content, subscribe to the channel. There's lots of content outside of this content in the community portion of the Leafs Combo on YouTube. We have polls up there. We're adding YouTube shorts, lots of commentary. And, you know, I dip in and out to respond to your comments. I live and breathe this platform and this project. And one, it's because I get to align myself with the legendary Michael Piaggiello from Chictawaga, New York, who does amazing work on Twitter Spaces after games. And of course, central to everything he does, hockeybuzz.com, one of the best bloggers and columnists out there. So please read his work. But secondarily, I do what I do because I get to be connected to so many great people, many of whom I'm meeting for the very first time, who are just jumping into the platform. Many others who've been with us, not only going back the 5 years of this particular project, but a decade prior to that, to the hook on AM980 and all of the stuff that Mike and I used to do on SoundCloud back in the mid-2010s. So it's been quite the journey. The key is we collectively, all of us, getting over the hump as fans, not just in a mental way, but to physically see the Maple Leaf team that we follow so dearly finally make it through the first round and in the second round, where, you know, all bets are off. Last word to you, Mike.
Enjoy the last three games.
Right.
But I can't wait. I just wish we could fast forward through them and get to game one.
Right. Colin M., Tampa are gassed. Colin is the number one optimistic convert out there. And Colin, we feel you, brother. We appreciate your presence here. Now, Atkinzeki, he's this is a really good point. Cujo would get the Leafs to the cup this year for sure. So I don't know why we didn't come up with that.
Yeah.
I'll
yield to your expertise there.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, guys, like the content, subscribe to the channel. We have two shows per week coming. So it looks like at this point, after the back-to-back, we'll be returning to our quarters to do another show on Wednesday. But you just never know. If something crazy comes up, we'll drop a sneak program on you. In the meantime, enjoy your Sunday. For Mike, I'm Norm. We are out.